The list of serious business concerns for the government contractor USIS is growing. The Government Accountability Office says a five-year, almost $200 million contract it won from the Homeland Security Department wasn't properly awarded, mainly because U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services didn't consider pending fraud allegations before it issued that contract. And Wall Street seems to think the company has very serious cash flow problems after USIS lost two other contracts with the Office of Personnel Management. Rob Burton is a partner at the Venable Law Firm. He's also former administrator in the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. In a recent column for The Hill, he ponders the possibility that USIS might soon face debarment. Hi there, Rob. Welcome to Federal News Radio once again.
Well, Jared, nice to talk to you today. Thanks for having me.
Likewise. Let's start with that debarment issue. I think one thing that's got me scratching my head as a layman is that OPM evidently was troubled enough by the allegations that the Justice Department is making about these dumping allegations on the background check investigations that it issued stop work orders on these two big contracts, but yet it has not suspended the company over those same concerns or proposed them for debarment. What should we make of that?
Well, I think that is really what we're looking at now. There's so many red flags that keep appearing. Those are some of the red flags you just talked about. This GAO decision, Jared, I think is huge. I mean, first of all, it's hard to win a GAO for contractors, generally speaking. And this win really focuses on contractor responsibility and an agency's obligation to do due diligence, to consider fraud allegations against a company. You know, the contracting officer apparently revealed in the GAO decision didn't even contact the Department of Justice to find out what the allegations were.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a problem. And I think GAO is saying you need to take responsibility very seriously, contractor responsibility very seriously, and you need to assess that. And that is part of the contract award decision. Then we've got Standard & Poor's, who now just came out with a report saying it looks like the company has serious financial issues and may run out of money in 6 months. These are all issues that a company, that the government should look at when it's determining whether to continue business. It does seem like there are enough red flags here to warrant maybe a suspension action. I'm surprised the agency hasn't actually looked at that. Maybe they are. But I would think that would be the next logical step in this whole sequence of red flags would be some type of formal proceeding where the company comes in and tries to explain itself and why it is currently responsible. It does seem like that type of dialogue needs to occur. And my understanding, Jared, is that OPM is taking the lead for any type of suspension or debarment action against the company.
Sure. So what's likely happened or happening behind the scenes as part of potential suspension and debarment proceedings? I mean, would OPM suspension and debarment official be having sort of background discussions with the vendor, and perhaps the vendor is somehow convinced them that they are still a responsible contractor?
I'm assuming that is happening. I mean, I would think that the lawyers for the company would be in to talk to the suspension debarment official and certainly would be trying to make that case. But it occurs to me that the taxpayers also have a right to know in view of some of the ongoing contractual relationships. Are they responsible or not? I mean, why are they? Has the agency made that determination? And it occurs to me that really should be in the public domain. The public, I think, has a right to know what the company's current responsibility status is. GAO is saying that DHS has to reevaluate the bidders on that particular contract that you referred to, and somewhat really encourages award to the competitor, which is, again, a rather significant GAO decision.
Yeah, to a competitor who bid about $20 million more than USIS did, which is maybe one factor why they won. But back to that decision on that USCIS, not USIS, but USCIS.
Yeah, I know the acronym is confusing.
I know, it is tough. One of the issues that the contracting officer brought up was that she felt that since there was no debarment or, you know, proposal for debarment or suspension involving this vendor, she was not within her rights to do what she called, you know, a de facto debarment by making a determination that in this case it was not a responsible responsible vendor, that is.
Uh-huh.
So why is that argument not correct?
Oh, and of course, you may have noticed GAO really slammed that down.
Yeah, they did.
And the reason it's not correct is that that's the fundamental fundamental job of a contracting officer on every contract award is to make a responsibility determination. So you are making a responsibility determination for each contract award separate and apart from the general idea of whether they should do business with any federal component. Anytime an agency issues a suspension or debarment decision, that's a government-wide determination. But with respect to a specific contract, that contracting officer is making a responsibility determination. Is that contractor at this very moment presently responsible to perform this contract? And that is the whole idea with respect to contract awards, is that a contracting officer makes a responsibility determination. So the contracting officer did not fully appreciate her authority and responsibility in that regard.
So another one of the issues that came up in this case was there was the argument that since this is, the administrative services division of USIS and not the arm that does the background investigations that was implicated in the Justice Department complaint, maybe you ought to think of them as two separate companies. Whatever issues they had with OPM aren't the same issues and not really even the same company that's doing business with DHS over here in this case. So as a contracting officer, I guess my question is, how carefully do you have to examine the links between individual business arms when you're trying to assess responsibility?
Well, you see, on that, that's a really good question. I'm glad you brought that issue up because it hasn't really had that much discussion. But one of the subsidiary bidding on this contract said, hey, we are not affiliated with our parent company, which is under investigation by the Department of Justice. And what was revealed in this GAO decision, Jared, is that the company actually made a very affirmative representation that they are very much one and the same. It says we have an integrated command and control structure. We share common policies and procedures across the corporation. We do not even operate semi-independently of each other. In other words, we're one and the same. So they felt for competing for this contract, it was very important to show they had those that each subsidiary would come to the table and bring their talent to as far as performing the DHS contract. But then in the evaluation process, the company's arguing, well, don't consider us one and the same for evaluation purposes. So you really can't propose together and then ask to be evaluated separately. That just doesn't work. And so the problem for the company was the actual admission to in their proposal that both subsidiaries were, in effect, both corporate components were, in effect, one and the same, that they did not operate independently of one another. That really was very important in the decision. You're absolutely right. GAO felt like, well, wait a minute, there's an admission by the company. The contracting officer didn't have to look very far, didn't have to do much in the way of an investigation. The company was saying, we are not independent. We do rely on one another. And so you had to, then the contracting officer really had to consider the fraud allegations that were against one of the parent company, even though the subsidiary was not involved in the fraud allegations.
Right. And for a contracting officer who's got to assess a whole lot of things, it seems to me that I totally understand your point about the fact that the company had made this admission, but when you're assessing those business relationships, that can get really complicated because, for example, even in this case, USIS is owned by a private equity firm almost entirely. That same firm owns, I think I counted, about a half dozen other federal contractors. So how far does, if USIS is tainted by this Justice Department investigation, how far does that spread in a complicated ownership structure like that?
Well, I think really you're right. The contracting officer can only do so much. I mean, that is really a good point. But I think that what's unique about this case was that it was right in front of the contracting officer. There was an admission that the entities were in effect one and the same, and relied, had the same procedures and processes. And that's really, if that's the case, then there may be concern that the fraud could be at both locations. And so I think the only thing GAO is saying in this decision, when it's so readily apparent, you can't ignore it. And really, I think this was a case about a contracting officer ignoring the obvious. Generally speaking, I don't think contracting officers have time to do major research and affiliations. But I might point out, in a suspension or debarment proceeding, that generally speaking, the agency will debar or suspend all affiliates. They just look to see who is actually affiliated, and then they actually do at least temporarily, ensure that the government's protected from both the subject of the inquiry as well as all of the affiliates. So it becomes this rather broad. In the suspension debarment world, the government's reach is very broad.
In our last minute or so, let's tackle one other point that you made in your column, which is the idea of USIS's financial health. How much responsibility does a contracting officer have to kind of do market research and determine whether a company is on solid financial footing before he or she awards a contract?
Well, again, this was very public information with respect to the Standards and Poor report, and that is part of responsibility. It's not just whether you have any fraud investigations ongoing. It's also, are you financially capable of
performing
the contract? Yeah, that's part of a responsibility determination. And so the contracting officer, I think in this situation, at least should have gone to the company to ask for some assurances, some type of explanation. In other words, should I be concerned with the Standards and Poor's report? What is the company's view of that? That would be what a contracting officer ordinarily would do.
And do you think those financial issues alone make it more difficult for USIS to get future work, even if they're not debarred?
Generally speaking, financial issues don't seem to be the preeminent disqualifier. I mean, in so many cases, there are ways around that. But I think the fraud allegations are clearly what's driving this, not to mention the recent cyber attack as well that USSI had on it and some of the security files that were compromised. All of this really, all of these are red flags that go into a responsibility determination and analysis. And so I think that's what DHS is going to be doing now in view of the GAO decision, is really taking a hard look, should they award this DHS contract to USIS or not.